Hello, Australia.
こんにちは、オーストラリア。
Welcome to Dodging Armageddon.
Dodging Armageddon と。
Welcome to Tokyo 2020. Now, even bigger and better in 2021. Let's cross over to two Aussies camped on the business end of a chopstick, poised to take the gold medal plunge into the miso soup. It's rampaging Roy Slaven and HG Nelson. Are you there, HG?
Yes, TF Much, Oiko and Raiden locked down in the Dodging Armageddon soundproof booth in ABC Grandstand Tokyo HQ. They're in there by themselves. You can hear and feel the great excitement that is sweeping Olympic Central in their opening spray. Australia, welcome to Tokyo, where the shower on the top of the cistern is golden. HG Nelson opening the dig on the Dodge for another Olympic Games overnight highlight. Well, I couldn't go past it. And I know many Australians can't as well. The news that our Ollie Roos, that is the green and gold Ollie Roos, that is the Graham Arnold polished Ollie Roos, have blown the group of death wide open with a big win over Argentina that dune to blot. And now let's get up to the plate, a man, and let him have a swing who has made the Olympics his own and his home for the past four decades. That man is rampaging Roy Slaven. Roy, what highlights caught your eye since you've lobbed T-side Shintaro?
Yes, konnichiwa, HG, and fabulous to be in Tokyo again. I've always loved Tokyo. I love the Tokyo people. I love the Tokyo vibe. And like you, I was terribly excited last night with the way the Ollie Roos handled themselves. I bumped into Andrew Hoy this morning, HG. I think you walked past us while I was talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's devastated at the moment. Remember Andrew Hoy? This is his eighth Games.
I know.
It is astonishing. What an astonishing, outstanding Australian Andrew Hoy is. And more about Andrew Hoy later, I'm sure. He was devastated because he is more excited by a team medal than he is individual medals. That's what makes him an extraordinary Australian.
Outstanding.
It appears, yes, outstanding.
Yeah, I know you said
it appears earlier. That that's blown out of the water. Our show jumper has been busted or pinged for what appears to be traces of cocaine in the system. I don't believe a word of it. We'll look at the science of it perhaps a little bit later on. I'm sure his B sample will prove negative.
Mm-hmm.
However, on the hard on the heels of that, one of our horses was not put into quarantine correctly or for a long enough duration and has therefore been eliminated, and this has blown our chances of a team medal at this stage, it would seem, out of the water. Andrew Hoy is devastated. But as they say here in Japan, Australia, seiko!
Dodging Armageddon recognises the Aussie spirit, forged in Anzac, tempered in Kokoda and blessed with fairness, a will to succeed and respect for decency.
Now, the opening ceremony awaits us, Roy. Obviously, I know I'm very nervous. I'm nervous for the whole Japanese experience. Remember, this is going to be without a crowd. For the first time ever in the history of the Games, no one will be watching. Well, that's not quite true. As I understand it, our Minister of Sport, Big Dick Colbeck, who is a riot in the right context, Anastasia Palaszczuk, who herself is a riot wherever she goes, and John Coates will be watching. They're the only people who will be watching the opening ceremony tonight. Now, can I ask, especially on the back of Coates' comments yesterday about what the opening ceremony is,
yes,
can you take us through what it means to you and what it stands for, say, in a culture like Japan or, in Japanese culture?
It's very hard to get your head around, really, HG. You've got to look at the history, I suppose, of the opening ceremony. It began, of course, in Athens. The opening ceremony in those days, all would gather, all the athletes from all over the land would gather before the emperor. And they would swear an oath of sportsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was about. And then there would be a cultural reading of usually a couple of poems, maybe a short excerpt from one of the great plays in the Greek canon.
Mm-hmm.
And that was handed on then in the beginning of the 20th century, HG, when the games were reconstructed. And the opening ceremony became more and more important. It became an expression of culture.
Yes.
You'll recall going back to, 20 years ago in Sydney, the Australian culture was so much exposed.
I know, the Victor Mower, the Victor dry Mowers, bone,
yes,
the,
yeah, the man from Snowy River.
No, incredible.
The Brumbies, when those Brumbies came out.
I just couldn't believe it.
I still get a thrill, you know, the hairs still go up the back of my neck whenever I think about that. Mm. Well, it's going to be the same for the Japanese. There'll be a nodding to the fact that it is the oldest monarchy in the world that dates back to, I think it's 660 BC, mm-hmm. HG. Very much a matriarchal society. It's been handed on from father to son, father to son, father to son, father to son, for all that time, ending up with the emperor we have at the moment, which
he's a terrific bloke.
Naruhito. Yes, yeah. I haven't met him.
No, I had a cup of tea with him.
Did you?
Yeah, it was Earl Grey and I had to vomit.
Yes.
So what happened was that he took this on board as being a sort of expression of cultural Australianness, and good. I didn't disabuse him.
No.
But no, he's a terrific bloke.
Terrific bloke. I'm glad to know. I'm glad, because there was some shadow of a doubt when the last emperor retired early.
I know.
Which is not the done thing.
I know, didn't look right.
Normally they've got
didn't
to leave.
Sit well with me.
They've got to leave from a horizontal position in bed.
That's right.
That's when they normally go. But oh no, not this bloke. Had to swan off to the golf course. However, there will be, HG, in the opening ceremony tonight, there will be a reference to the Japanese Kabuki Theatre,
uh-huh.
which is always a little bit, I'm a bit standoffish, doesn't really relate to it all that well, but I can appreciate the skill.
Yeah, the skill's
enormous. Same with the No Theatre, which I think you're happier with than the Kabuki.
Yeah, I like the white face.
You do? Mm. You love the white face.
Yeah. The zinc, love it.
It's very difficult for Westerners to get away with that sort of act. But the Japanese do it deftly.
And minimal. It's a raked garden in
the
theatre.
That's right. Perfectly right. There will be the March of the Samurai, HG, which I always enjoy. I don't know how many there'll be, possibly 200,000 or 300,000 samurai will be wandering through in full kilt.
And will they have bands in between, you know?
I wouldn't have thought so. No, the samurai...
March silent.
They march in absolute silence, HG. All you can hear, as they say, is the brush of the sandal. On the sand. The brush of the sandal on the sand. There'll be the March of the Ninjas.
Oh.
There'll be a little bit of... as they go past. Mm-hmm. There'll only be several thousand of them.
Do they bring their own dress up?
Oh, yeah, they'll come fully kitted.
Yeah,
somewhere in black, you know, the Iga Ninjas, the Koga Ninjas, the Phantom Ninjas, the whole lot. They'll all be there. There'll be the March of the Geishas. Which is always slow because of the footwear, HG. It's very difficult, especially with they'll be on...
The wooden elevated shoes.
And you've got to make sure that your shoe doesn't slip between a couple of rocks or slip on the sand or any of that. They've got to be very, very careful the way they walk. And then there will be the Dance of the Tea ceremony, which they take very, very seriously.
Oh, yeah, no, you've got to be quiet.
You've got to be very quiet.
Mm, hope Coach knows this.
I hope he does too. And then the... emperor, I'm assuming, will be brought in with a sedan chair, and that will bring about the closing of the ceremony.
And is this something that people in Japan would think would be our way of saying welcome to our country?
Yes.
Or indicating to them that our history goes a bit beyond, Hyundai.
Yes.
That's Korean, of course. I mean Toyota.
Toyota, yeah. Well, it wouldn't surprise me, HG, if there was the parade of the Toyota Crowns.
And 400 or 500.
Yes, and the Corollas.
Right.
Yeah, so you might get a little bit of that.
Would you get the Land Cruisers?
And the Mitsubishis, of course. The Mitsubishis will come in. And there'll be a couple of Mitsubishis, the Mitsubishi Flypast
as well. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Look, I sort of know what to expect, but I know I'm going to be surprised.
You will be. You certainly will be.
Yeah.
And are you thinking that somehow in all of this, the dumb show that was part of the announcement of Brisbane Games, especially the byplay between Coetzee and Anastasia Palaszczuk, will be forgotten? Or will this be reared up, inflamed by what we see tonight? I know it's a hard question because you're watching people in the stands, sitting there socially distanced. One will be in the east quarter, one will be in the west quarter, one will be in the north, and so on. So they won't be able to communicate except by phone.
No.
I'm just wondering if the Japanese have prepared something just for them.
Well, I don't think so. I think it'd be a little bit beneath them to dwell too much upon what they would see as a bit of a domestic dispute.
Stink.
Happening between the Premier and the AOC heavyweight. And I know there have been calls, and I've heard them, they were whispers and now they're shouts, for John Coates to be referred to as His Excellency.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a pretty strong case being mounted for that now, HG. And I know he can seem, look, we know him very well.
Mm-hmm.
He can seem patronising. He can seem as if he's talking down to you. But that comes with the turf. He's the AOC president.
I know. Yeah. I know.
He's president.
AOC vice president.
Yes.
He's
yes.
almost at His Excellency.
Exactly.
Level.
Exactly. Exactly. So for this 2 weeks, he's the second most powerful person on the planet.
Dodging Armageddon presents popular Japanese sayings.
Child of a frog is a frog.
And the village, Roy, I mean, this village they built here, what's great, there's two great things about it, is all the Australians are together.
Yeah.
There's no one else around because of social distancing. And all the Australians are finding that they have a lot in common, say the pole vaulters with the basketballers, with the skateboarders and so on. It's a great coming together and meeting in a sports central in a way that I haven't experienced
yes.
at an Olympic Games before,
yeah.
Partly due to the COVID problems. Mm. Now, how have you seen the village? Yeah. Have you seen people who obviously you've encountered in your walks, officials and so on, or other sporting people who you haven't seen for a while?
Sure.
And how are they relating to it?
Look, it's been difficult, very trying circumstances, HG, as you well know, in lockdown as we are. We haven't been able to revisit any of our haunts in Tokyo itself. From other trips we've had here. So many friends that we've wanted to catch up with and we haven't been able to. It just hasn't been practical. It is a strange games in that sense, HG. And I think back to, in Sydney in 2000, the remarkable village we had there in Newington, which set the gold standard for the world. Now, I look at where our athletes are and I ask myself, is this Newington? Well, no, it's not. Would anyone want to move in here and live here after the athletes vacate? No, they wouldn't. It's just not. It's not the quality I was expecting. No. HG. A lot of the furniture's cardboard.
Now, but we're in the home of origami, Roy.
I know.
I know you can fold a bit of paper better than anybody else I've seen,
yeah.
And you've created great furniture with it. But
yeah.
Are you convinced that the cardboard bend sends the right message? I mean, is it a sustainability message?
Yeah.
Is it something with recycling? Is it something that Bin Night should be looking at in Australia?
Well, again, it's a cultural thing, HG. You know, for people in Australia, when Newington, for example, was sold, all the beds were left in the units because mm-hmm. it added value. If you had a bed that Thorpey slept in, it added value to the unit. You know, Kieran Perkins slept in this bed. Well, again, but the Japanese don't see it that way. You know, I mean, I was discussing the other day, you know, for example, Stuart McSween, the King Island King, or the King of King Island, our 1,500-metre specialist. I said, is this going to add value to this unit, having the King of King Island sleeping here? And they said, no, not at all. See, that bed, once he's finished with it, is going to be taken outside and burnt. That's why it's cardboard.
You are there with the pole in hand and the bar set at gold medal height. It's time to shine on Dodging Armageddon.
Yes, Roy, and people might like to get in touch with us here in Japan on Dodging Armageddon and put questions or ask opinions about things, and you can do so by simply dialing up Roy and HG at abc.net.au. That's Roy and HG at abc.net.au. And the following have, Roy.
Yes, look, Perry's been in touch from Queensland. Now, Perry says, I'm sure you're aware one of our major grocery stores is currently distributing collectible cards of our Olympic heroes with certain purchases. I have noticed this, and I've got a few of myself.
Yes.
Back home. If you spend over $30, you get so many cards of Olympic heroes. And Perry has obviously received some of these cards. He says, after one such shopping trip, my three-year-old son eagerly opened up his new card, held it up and asked, Dad, who's this? Imagine my surprise to see none other than Aussie golfer Mark Leishman and the words Olympic hero. I was unaware that Mark Leishman had been elevated to the mantle of Olympic hero alongside the likes of Freeman, Thorpe and Fraser, but I'm grateful that it afforded me the opportunity to bond with my young son about the legend of Leishman. I knelt down, put my hand on his shoulder and told him all about Leishman, from short game, putty action, club selection and, of course, Leishman Lager, which is that lager from Monday night, yes. You will recall. So it's a fantastic thing, though. I assume Mark and Cam Smith are our representatives
in
the golf. And there's no reason why they couldn't come away heroes, HG.
No, indeed. I've got penciled in at long price for a bit of gold, but I've put $5 on it.
Yes.
Funny things happen in a golf game and at the Olympics. Now, coming to that, now,
yes.
Olympic heroes.
Yes, Olympic legends, heroes.
I mean, there should
be... But isn't that great getting that in a supermarket? I mean, who had that idea?
I don't know.
It's brilliant.
I know. Now, what I was trying to get to is, remember ages ago, there used to be, a sailboarder. I don't think sailboarding's part of the Olympics anymore. Lars Klepich.
Oh, Lars Klepich,
do you think that Lars Klepich, in this scheme of things, should be elevated to Olympic legend?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't know about legend. That's a subset of hero, isn't it? I mean, no one's suggesting Mark Leishman is a legend. He's a hero.
Right. Indeed. Okay.
Just by virtue of becoming an Olympian, I think makes you an Olympic hero.
Okay. That's the lowest rung.
If you come back with, heaps of medals, or if Leishman got gold, you would imagine that would elevate him to legend
status. And is there any levels in between?
Well, I don't think so, HG, no.
Well, any levels above?
I don't know, but it's something we could discuss with His Excellency the next time we bump into him.
It certainly will. That would be fantastic. And I'd love to see an Australian scale.
Oh, yes.
You remember in the old days, I think one of the Prime Ministers tried to get a new system of Aussie Knights and Dames going.
Oh, yes.
Now, I'm just wondering if Australia, through Kochi, could have its own pecking order of Olympians. So, obviously, Thorpe and people like that would be at the... And the Lion of Athens would obviously be at the very half.
And Dawn.
Yeah. Oh, Dawn, yeah. He goes there. Kathy, you know.
Oh, yes.
So there's a few.
Herb. Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. I think once you're identified by just one name, your first name, I think that makes you... An Olympic legend.
Mm-hmm.
But at this stage, if I said to you, well, Mark, what about Mark, eh?
No.
You don't automatically think Leishman, do you?
No, and the other, that's true. Unfortunately, the other golfer, Cam Smith, you always automatically think of a rugby league player.
I know.
So just a separate issue.
Exactly. And that makes it much harder for this Cam, because the other Cam is a dead set immortal in waiting.
And what other emails have you got there?
That's it for now,
HG. That's it for now.
Yep.
So if you do want to get in touch with the show, Roy and HG at abc.net.au. Now, Roy, I noticed that you've had to spend a lot of time with the Japanese organisers, and I know what you've been talking about. You've been talking about STIP, the sanitizer total immersion process, which would enable the Japanese people to come to these games through the technique that you've developed for the rugby league community, which has allowed huge crowds to come to see the games of rugby league.
Sure.
How are you going with addressing this that level of the Japanese government?
Look, not too badly, because the Japanese have taken to the sanitizer bath like a duck to water, HG, because of their bathing habits.
Yeah, I know.
They love being wet.
Yeah.
They do. I mean, you've only got to have a couple of sakis with someone, and the next thing you know, they're nude in the bath, covering themselves with water. It's got a name. I think it's called onsen baths or something.
Oh, onsen. Yeah, very hot.
Onsen, yes.
Very hot. Almost so hot you can't get into it.
That's it. So you completely submerge.
Are you heating the sanitizer, the Dettol sanitizer in there?
I hadn't thought of that, but it's a great idea.
You know, you could take
it up. It's a great idea. I'd have to discuss it with the scientists to see if it doesn't affect
the quality of the
sanitizer. Yeah. I don't want to boil that out. But I think with the onsen, HG, you have a shower before you get in the water.
Mm.
So
you
sit down on a rock and have a shower while you sit there and cleanse yourself with special, ointments
and loofahs and so on. And
all of that. Yep. And then you hop into the water and submerge yourself until all your body is wrinkly and then you get out, and then you cover yourself with ice.
Oh, wow.
And then you shower again, and then you get back in the hot water, and then you for 10 minutes or so, and then you get out, and you cover yourself with ice again, and then you have another shower, and then you get into the sanitizer bath, then you get back into the bath, then you have a shower, then you dry off, and then you're fine. Now, this is all working well, but our athletes are struggling with the idea that they have to turn up 2.5 hours before any event because it's taking this long to get access to the venue.
Now, your technique eliminates a number of these steps, doesn't it? You have the hose
I don't
off.
Think you need any of the onsen.
No, that's what
I haven't said that to their faces. I wouldn't. I don't want to offend them.
No.
All I want is for people to get undressed, fine, hop in the sanitizer bar, fine, get out, be happy to be hosed off, dry yourself, get dressed, get ready to compete.
Now, I know you've been talking to Shinzo Abe's office. Admittedly, he's not in charge of the country anymore. It would have been handy if he'd hung on for a couple more years.
Sure.
But the information that I'm getting is that it does appear that cracks are starting to appear in this no people at events regime.
Yes.
And it could be that there could be a breakthrough by the end of about the third week of the Olympic Games.
Oh, really?
And people will be able to come.
Really? After the games are over?
I know. It's incredible.
Whoa! Yeah. But I am seeing a bit of an upside to it, HG. I think, I was asked to by His Excellency to address the Olympic team the other day. You were there. It was a great occasion. Great to catch up with everyone, including Andrew Hoy that we've discussed earlier. And I was able to say to them that this was a great opportunity for introverted, quiet Australians. This is a game for introverts. It's not a game for your show ponies.
No.
They've had their games. They've had their games. I don't know how many bloody games they've had, but everyone.
Millions.
There haven't been any games for introverts, and this one is. So I said to them, if any of you are shy, retiring, anything like that, this is fine. This game is...
Time to shine.
It's your time to shine. So be as shy as you like, because there's going to be no one watching in the venues. But as I had to point out, when you get home, however, there will be a bit of a crowd about, so make sure you don't embarrass yourself with your shyness.
It's very good advice, Roy. Very good advice.
I think it is. And because I look at the Quieter Australians, HG, you know, Jessica Hull, Ben Buckingham, Matthew Denny, you know, the discus thrower. These are players that don't trumpet themselves.
No. No
big noting at all. No. Sure, we know that there are some big noting Australians. We don't want to talk about them. They know who they are. We know who they are. But what I want to dwell on in this Games are those forgotten heroes, those shy Australians that just put in, and generally speaking, when given the opportunity, don't let us down and come back with a medal.
I know, it's a fantastic story, and we'll be looking forward and focusing on them over the next couple of weeks. And, of course, Dodging Armageddon is on, let's face it, every day while the Games is on, and you can pick it up as an app or on digital, ABC Digital, or wherever you listen to the radio at 3 o'clock often, on local radio. So it's a big footprint that we're putting out there.
Is it on digital radio, HG?
I just mentioned that.
Oh, you did? Yes. I just wanted the message to get through.
And, of course, the podcast.
Oh, the podcast. But that's a digital experience as well, isn't it?
It's a podcast, and it's terrible to say to somebody who's listening to it on a podcast.
Could I just say, before we wind up today, HG, I've been watching Channel 7, and is it just me or are the images blurry?
Well, I think...
Is it blurry coverage? And do we blame 7, you know, Andy Kay and that lot, or is it a problem coming out of Tokyo?
Well, the feeling I get is a problem cost-cutting in Tokyo.
Is that it?
One camera,
is that it?
Set in probably...
Complacency set in because there are no crowds, no cameras.
And on that telling point, dodge on, Australia. We'll join you for every day that the Olympics are on right here, wherever you're listening to this, however you're listening to this, by now.